We are down at North House Folk School for the kickoff of the 15th annual Wooden Boat Show right here at North House. It's a beautiful evening. Lots of folks down here. If you're listening and thinking, boy, it'd sure be nice to do something outside this evening, come on down. There's lots of activities. The boat parade is about to get started. I think the storytelling time is still going on. And joining us right now is actually the featured speaker for the Wooden Boat Show this weekend, Douglas Brooks, who is a boat builder and with a particular emphasis in Japanese boats. Douglas, thanks so much for joining us on the Roadhouse, and welcome to Grand Marais.
Thank you very much. It's been a great stay here this week.
Is this your first time to Grand Marais?
It is indeed.
Oh, great. Well, now, I was on your website today. I viewed your website today. I told Buck earlier I was on your website. He said, I hope you didn't do any damage. But you've been a boat builder for a long time, but you've had, I guess one might say, recent interest, although it's been probably 12 or maybe years even longer, in the art and the craft of Japanese boat building. How did you develop an interest in that or become aware of that craft?
Well, actually, in 1990, my college roommate invited me to Japan. And at that time, I had been working as the museum boat builder at the Maritime Museum in San Francisco. Nobu had been twisting my arm to visit his native country. And when I left that job, he promptly sent me a plane ticket.
Ah.
So he made it pretty impossible to avoid. And I got to Japan, and I was very much a typical backpacker, kind of tootling around the country with my rail pass and my youth hostel ticket and so on. And I came across some boats and some really intriguing boats, and started to try to talk to the boat builders. And slowly what emerged was this situation where the practitioners of the craft were all elderly. The craft was entirely based upon the apprentice system. So the only transmission of the craft was generational, from master to apprentice. And all these elderly boat builders, they didn't have any apprentices.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I started to get a sense of a kind of growing crisis, really, in the craft of traditional boat building in Japan. And I went back my second trip specifically to interview with an interpreter, this one boat builder I met. Mm-hmm. And I went my third trip again to interview him. And at the end of my third visit to him, he invited me to be his apprentice.
Hmm.
And that's what kicked it off. And since that time, I've done five apprenticeships in Japan, building six types of Japanese boats.
I want to back up from that just a little bit. And are you from San Francisco?
No, I'm originally from Connecticut, but I was living in San Francisco after college.
How did you get into boat building?
I went to college in Connecticut, and my sophomore year I did a Williams College program at Mystic Seaport Museum, which is America's largest maritime museum. And I got to do, I guess you'd call it an internship, but I got to intern or apprentice with the Seaport's master boat builder.
Uh-huh.
And he and I built a small boat together. And so a few years later out of college, a job came open at the Maritime Museum in San Francisco, and they were just opening a boat shop, a museum boat shop. And I got the position as assistant to the boat builder, and we were building replicas of traditional boats in front of the public and curating the museum's small craft collection. And then ultimately he left and I got his job, and the rest is
history.
You took the words right out of my
Unfortunately,
mouth.
Unfortunately, I did.
You were on my website, and you took the words right out of my mouth.
Now let's get back to the Japanese boats, and I want to remind our listeners that we're visiting with Douglas Brooks, who is a traditional boat builder, particularly, and your presentation here at North House is going to be about the Japanese boats. And I saw pictures of six boats, different style of boats.
Yes,
on the website.
That's right.
Beautiful boats, just magnificent boats.
Yeah, very striking, yeah.
But we were visiting with Dave Cooper a little while ago, talking about the Mackinaw, which is a boat that was characteristic of the Great Lakes and developed primarily, I think, in response to what you needed to do on Lake Superior. I'm assuming that these Japanese boats are the same thing, that they were developed to fit a particular function in a particular place.
Right. But I would add to that, as a builder, it's sort of my bias, that also when you look at boat building traditions really anywhere in the world, materials and technology are the other two legs of that triangle. So there's need, materials, and technology.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, you know, the Native Americans built these exquisite designs out of birch bark using stone tools and fire.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And that's what they had to work with, and that's what they could create. No doubt, if you look closely at the Mackinac boat, too, I'm sure the development of the tradition, there'd be something to say about the species of wood that were available.
Oh, absolutely.
And probably had some sort of effect on the ultimate design. And that's true, I have to say that in Japan, that yes, it's materials, technology, of course the Japanese are incredible tradition of woodworking, as well as the waters that they operate in.
And I'm not too sure that when you talk about the tradition of woodworking, particularly as it applies to traditional boats, is a craft that we normally would associate with Japan. Normally, I think we think more in terms of
electronics. Oh, yeah, electronics, yeah.
Technology. Well, what kind of materials are unique to the boats that you're doing in Japan?
Well, Japanese primarily rely on cedar, their native cedar, to build their boats. But I will say, I completely agree with you that Japan's reputation in the world is of like one giant megalopolis with shining lights and now melting down nuclear reactors. But Japan's countryside is absolutely carpeted with the most beautiful old-growth forest you've ever seen.
Hmm.
And I think it's really quite tragic. Whenever I meet Westerners who are traveling to Japan, I implore them to try to travel to the countryside, because the rural Japan is really like another country. And the other thing to appreciate about Japan is it's a wood culture. Really, the only building material they had and have native to their land is wood. So the magnificent temples and shrines, I mean, the largest wooden building in the world is in Japan.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And most, probably 19 of the 20 oldest wooden buildings in the world are in Japan.
Hmm.
The actual oldest wooden building in the world is in Russia. But, you know, it's an amazing wood culture, right down to wooden kitchen implements.
So are most of these, I'm assuming they are, most of these traditional boats then being built in the countryside?
By far, surviving finally at the end, surviving in the countryside.
And generally, what are the uses? Again, there were six different boats, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce it.
That's okay.
The names of them. But historically and even now, what are primarily the uses for those boats?
They're all fishing boats.
They are?
Yeah, they're all fishing boats. Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, the reality of Japan is feeding itself.
Uh-huh.
So they're all I'm sorry, I take that back. One of the boats I built in Tokyo is a replica of basically an Edo era water taxi.
Oh.
Essentially the gondola of Tokyo. And a lot of people don't realize this, but Tokyo has been thoroughly asphalted and paved over. But Tokyo, if you find a 300-year-old map of Tokyo, it had as many canals as Venice.
Wow.
And this one particular type of boat was the famous water taxi in the canals of Tokyo.
Now, the boat that I have to ask you about, and
all right,
again, I was looking at it, there's one that looks like a hot tub.
That is correct.
I mean, it's round. It looks about 3 feet high.
Yep.
And it looks like a...
It's a barrel.
Like a barrel.
It's a barrel. And in fact...
But it's a boat.
Yeah, and my very first apprenticeship. That's the man I interviewed and he was the first man to invite me to apprentice with him. It's the name of it is Tarai Bune. Bune means boat, and Tarai means tub.
So what was this boat used for?
It's a fishing boat.
You're kidding.
It's a fishing boat. And it's got a very interesting story. So to folks listening and trying to imagine this little barrel as a boat, you would assume that it's some ancient kind of watercraft. And in fact, these boats were discovered, invented, so to speak, just about 130 years ago.
Hmm.
And somebody probably, nobody knows for sure, they're used only on a small island in the Sea of Japan, and they were invented. Somebody cut a barrel in half, or somebody did something and got the idea that you could go out to sea in a giant barrel. But these boats are primarily used by women because
really?
They were so much cheaper than a conventional boat.
Mm-hmm.
that suddenly, and this really changed the entire dynamic of the fishing culture on the island, because for the first time a fishing family could have a second boat. So Dad went out in the conventional boat, but now Mom had her own boat. And now, so when you go to Sado Island, most of the people in these boats are women.
Hmm. So obviously still being used.
Still being used.
How many of the boats that you did are that type of boat are still in use? All of them?
Still in active use.
Active use.
The tub boat is still an active fishing boat. And unfortunately, the other boats are not, except the Okinawan boat that I built, the Sabani. That has been discovered as a pleasure boat. Mm. And that is now, there's now active Sabani racing teams. And so they no longer use for fishing, but they're sort of being saved effectively by recreationalists.
So everything else that you were doing was kind of recreations, and that they're not being used, so only the boats that people like you and the people that you worked with that are making them for, so people can have an appreciation. That's the only way the people would know about them.
Well, right. And what drove all my apprenticeships, and all five of my teachers agreed with me on this, was the crying need to document these boats, document how they were built, what their designs were, the folklore around building the boats. And so with a combination of self-funding on my part and grant funding from foundations, each of my apprenticeships was essentially a research project, a documentation project.
You mentioned early on that one of the problems was that there weren't any apprentices.
Right.
This craft wasn't being passed on.
That's correct.
Has that changed, do you think? Or is there an effort to change that? Or is the attitude one of, well, they're not in use anyway, so...
Yeah, sadly... You know, sadly, the practitioners, well, let me put this in its starkest terms. In my travels around Japan, and I've been to Japan 12 times, and I live there a year, and all my visits have been 2 to 3 months, I have met and interviewed about 50 boat builders. The youngest boat builder I know is 68 years old.
Oh, geez.
Of those 50 men, my first teacher has passed away. All my other teachers are in their late 80s. I'm the sole apprentice for all five of my teachers. And of the 50 boat builders I know, probably five taught apprentices.
Hmm.
And so this craft tradition, which valued secrecy, in which these practitioners never wrote anything down, where the transmission of the craft was entirely orally based, the direct instruction of master to apprentice. I mean, this is all on the brink of disappearing.
Sure.
And in some respects, I am it.
Yeah.
My tugboat teacher, he passed away. He was the last builder of tugboats, and I was his sole apprentice. But I do see among the young people in Japan a kind of growing realization that there's got to be a better way than nuclear power and corporate lifestyle and living in cities.
So there's a chance.
I think there is a chance.
Good.
And actually, happily, I know of two very recent folk schools, very similar to this, that have started in Japan. And I'm in touch with them, and I've said, when you're ready to start teaching Japanese boat building, call me.
I'm here.
Yeah.
We've been visiting with Douglas Brooks. Douglas is the featured speaker here at North House, and you're speaking tomorrow
at 2 p.m.
2 p.m. right down here at North House Folk School, and I'm assuming you'll be showing some examples of,
the boats. It's a slide presentation
that you do. I also want to let people know about your website, because they can get a great look at the boats that you do there, and that is Douglas Brooks Boat Building, all one word, .com. I want to thank you very much for coming to Grand Marais, and especially for joining us here on the Roadhouse.
Well, thank you very much.
And thanks, take good care of yourself, because you're holding a lot of lore that's irreplaceable.
Hey, I jog.
Okay.